Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And today I'm joined in the studio with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. Let's start in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So today we have an interesting topic. In the world of movies, in the Hollywood land, you see all sorts of supernatural stuff, all sorts of fantastic things, especially in this era of CGI and all kinds of stuff. Well, we're going to take a Catholic perspective to what's going on there. Is any of the things in these movies possible? Do they get it even remotely close to right? This is what we're going to talk about today, and it should be quite interesting. Any initial takes, Father Jerome? It stuck you on the spot there, huh?
Yeah. No, so just to be clear about some things that we're talking about. So demons are, you know, we see that a lot in Hollywood. Ghosts. Monsters, aliens, things like that.
They're all over Hollywood movies these days.
Yeah. And zombies.
Vampires, all sorts of creepy creatures. So we want to try to just talk about, why don't we start with, because, you know, the Catholic show, so why don't we start with the stuff that usually has a pastiche of Catholicism painted over it, mostly because the church is dramatic, and so they like that drama in the movies. And you see this in movies like The Exorcist and other movies with demonic creatures. Does Hollywood get it at all right when we see those sorts of creatures in the movies?
Yeah, when it comes to demons, there are some movies that portray possessions, as we know from sacred scripture, demons are real and possessions are real. And sometimes you see in Hollywood movies portrayals that look a lot like what you see in scripture. You know, for example, the gospel about the man who was possessed by, you know, Christ said, "Who are you?" And they said, "We are legion." And that can happen.
And I've always found that bit of the Gospels the most horror story-like. I mean, you have this guy shackled. He's broken his shackles, so broken chains around him, and he's up around the tombs in this barren area, and everyone's afraid to go near him. I mean, it really is like the scene of a horror movie, except Jesus, God, is present there to release the man from those demons. And those demons, remember, they asked to be put into the swine. So it shows the lack of concern for even their dignity of these demons, that here they are by nature angels, albeit fallen, wanting to go so the highest of created nature, wanting to go into the lowest, the unclean animal like a swine.
Yeah.
You really see the nature of demons there, and that they've completely lost their dignity by being fallen.
Right. And you see there, they want to destroy. Like, if they can't possess the man and if Christ is going to command him to leave the man, they want to at least, like, kill all the swine, you know?
They're vicious and unreasonable. They've lost their reason because they've abandoned the source of all truth, God himself. But one thing, though, that the scripture bit, this part of scripture we're talking about really differs from Hollywood portrayals. And when I happen to see movies with demons and whatnot, what really aggravates me a lot when I see most of these movies is that in them, the demons are very powerful. They can do all these special things that require lots of CGI and special effects to show. And basically, the people are often almost helpless in the face of the power of these demons. Now, that's true. The demons are powerful. But what's really strikes me and annoys me is what's lacking, and that's the presence of God. God almost plays no role, but maybe a reference. But it seems like God's powerless in the face of demons. But we see in that scripture portrayal that Christ has complete authority over them, that they beg Christ's pardon to enter the swines. You know, they beg him and are scared of God. This is something that you rarely see in the movies, that God is actually more powerful than the demons, infinitely more powerful. And in these movies, God just isn't often present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in that passage about the man who was possessed by a legion of demons, what strikes me about that passage is that Christ looks at this man and he casts out the demons, and in doing so, he sets free the real man. Mm-hmm. People who looked at that man thought, well, he's a lost cause, it's hopeless, you know, there's no way to, you know, it's just hopeless to try to control him or even do anything about the power of evil that is possessing that man, about these demons. But Christ shows otherwise, that, mm-hmm. that they are not, as you were saying, Father Boniface, they're not the most powerful. Christ, you know, cast them out, and the man who was kind of buried under all this evil is then in his right mind again. He becomes, in fact, a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, one of the most profound things, is that Christ has that power to restore people that seem completely buried, completely lost, you know, mm-hmm. under the burden of evil.
And that's absolutely true. And it shows another thing that you often, it's more an impression than something these movies explicitly state, but the impression they give is that if there is a mention of God, it makes good and evil seem like equal powers, mm-hmm. like yin and yang. They're matched and they need each other to exist, that they're two sides of the force, if you would. But that's not the actual case, because what's ultimate is goodness, is God's love, that God created the angels and the angels fell. That means the demons are creatures of God, and their evil is not even in the same league as the goodness of God. So it's not two equally matched forces. Mm-hmm. It's that God is all-powerful, and in the face of God, the demons are powerless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one way that the church defines evil is simply a privation mm-hmm. of good, the absence of good. So it's mm-hmm. not as if good has this solid reality and then evil has this solid reality. It's really that evil is what evil is. It's just the lack of something good that should be there.
Mm-hmm.
And God has the power to restore it. So even a demon is an angel who is now lacking what should be there. So it's not like you were saying, it's not an equally opposed power.
No, the devils are just broken angels. They're less powerful than the angels that are not fallen, because by becoming fallen, they've actually injured themselves. They've hollowed themselves out and become less than they were meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Father Jerome, in real life, what kind of power would a devil have over people? Like, what can they do to people?
To start out, yeah, as you said, you know, God didn't create demons per se. God didn't create demons as they are evil, and they are evil now by their own will. They are, as you said, broken angels. They're just like the angels, the good angels in nature, according to what they are, created by God. But in the first instant of their creation, they made an irrevocable choice against God. And basically, as it's summed up in, you know, what's traditionally attributed to the one who was Lucifer, which means light bearer, who's now Satan, who said, I will not serve. And basically, I'd rather be master in hell than a servant in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the choice that made them how they are now, demons, contrary to the will of God. But so as angels, they have the power that angels have. So First of all, with regard to their knowledge, they know basically everything. They know the whole of history. They know the whole of the present. They know everything that any human being can know through, you know, any means whatsoever. They know all of that. Yeah, for that reason, but they don't know the future. Mm-hmm. But they know the whole of the past and the present. And so there's power that they have based on that. And then they also basically have the power to move things. Any element of nature, they have the power by their angelic nature to move. So now they need, basically, if God allows it, they need permission from God to act at all. Mm-hmm. And if he allows it, he allows it for his own glory. But he will allow some things, but he can allow them, obviously, in the case of a possession, to take control of a person's body. And then, you know, they can move. It is true, like you see in Hollywood, they can move things in a room however they want, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by God's permission.
Can they control our minds?
They cannot control our minds. They can tempt
Thank
us.
God.
Yes, that's right. And they can, as it were, present something to the imagination.
So make like a thought pop into your head?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they can't actually make a thought mm-hmm. pop into your head, but they can... By God's permission, present a temptation in and through the imagination, mm-hmm. which easily translates into a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the most important thing to be safe from any sort of demonic influence is to remain in a state of grace, to keep that friendship with Jesus Christ alive. And if you find yourself in serious sin, to go to confession, to return to that state of God's protection through the indwelling of the Trinity in our soul. If we stay with Christ, and the demons have no real power over us, because even if God allows them to tempt us in some way, it's important to know that God allowed that, meaning that God uses evil for the good of others. So by allowing, say, Pontius Pilate to be unjust, well, he allowed that to happen because it led to the greater good of Christ bringing us salvation on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So evil is self-defeating because God will use those who fight against him to fulfill his own plans. So they can't escape divine providence. So by trusting in God and staying close to Jesus Christ, the demons have no real power over us. You're listening to the Dominican Dimension, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Boniface Endorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and Father Stephen Alcott, the pastor of St. Patrick's. Now, we've been discussing the supernatural in Hollywood, all the wild things you see in movies and what reality they have. Obviously, Hollywood loves to sensationalize things. So what's the reality behind it? We've been talking about demons, but what about something different? Another popular category in Hollywood movies are ghosts. What's the deal with ghosts?
So basically there are angels and fallen angels and demons. And then the only other persons mm-hmm. that exist are human beings.
Well, and the Trinity.
Yes, that's true. Sorry, I forgot about that. No, human beings, so angels and fallen angels do not have bodies. They can arrange elements on earth to look like a body, but they themselves don't have bodies. But only human beings have bodies. But when we die, the soul is separated from the body. So, and when we die, we either go to heaven or to purgatory or to hell. So, now when our soul is separated from our body, if there's going to be a ghost, it will be, you know, it has to be by default a human being who's, yes, did live at one point on this earth, who is who has passed on and is now, like, just by default in heaven, purgatory, or hell, right? And we can clarify more coming up. But so now they're just a pure spirit. They lost their body. So angels have ability to move things just according to their angelic nature and everything, and to communicate with us, again, by God's permission or by his will, but according to their own nature. But when we only have power to move things with by means of our bodies, according to our nature. So if we don't have a body, there's no way, according to our nature, that we could communicate with someone or move anything. Or
so if you don't have a body, you're like someone who's paralyzed. You're unable to move things around in the world because you don't have the use of your body anymore.
Right, right. So, but God could, and for various reasons, he could allow, either through the intervention of either directly by his own power or through the intervention of an angel, or against his will perhaps, but by his permission, through the intervention of a demon, for a soul separated from its body to communicate with someone on earth, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So ghosts, I mean, a lot of what people think are ghosts, it could be a demon acting.
Mm-hmm.
And just appearing as a ghost, or, you know, presenting itself in a human form.
But it isn't necessarily that.
It is not necessarily that. And it could be by God's power, or through the instrumentality of an angel, a soul, and it could be, for example, a soul in purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
God could allow this and even will it, that a soul in purgatory needs prayers, and God allows that soul to communicate and make known that it's in purgatory and in need of prayers.
Given that, two things I've often heard that are useful in situations with ghosts is, first, if it's something in your house, to have your house blessed. That's very effective. I heard a story from one of our parishioners that she had bought a house and lived there many years, and she happened to see the previous owner of the house, and he said, "Well, have you ever seen that ghost that was always in the kitchen?" And she's thinking, "No, I've never seen a ghost." But she remembered that she had the house blessed once they moved in. And so anything that former owner had seen, that blessing had taken care of. Another thing that people frequently do is, if they're worried about a specific ghost that they might have seen, is to offer a mass for that person. Because if it's someone from purgatory asking for prayers, well, the most powerful prayer is the mass. And having a mass offered for that person is to satisfy the desire of that person.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments, Father Stephen?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good thing. It's actually one of the, you know, a great act of mercy to pray for the dead, to pray for the souls mm-hmm. of the dead. And the church actually attaches indulgences to that. For example, if you visit a cemetery on the feast of All Souls Day, you know, there's an indulgence attached to that. And there's a reason, because the church encourages people to pray for the departed souls. And one thing I think of, you know, when you look at the supernatural in Hollywood, you know, and you learn about, you know, as Father Jerome was saying, about demons, about angels, about ghosts, you might say, well, why doesn't this happen more often in real life? It seems to happen quite often,
mm-hmm.
you know, in movies. Again, I'll go to one of my favorite authors. If you want to read about, you know, demons and, you know, again, a fictional, but I think very clear and incisive examination, look at The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a fictional account that teaches a lot about, you know, kind of a junior devil being mentored by a senior devil. And how, you know, if demons or the devil were to produce a lot of very manifest and troubling scenes, you know, like you see in the movie, what is that going to do?
Everyone's going to run to church.
Everyone's going to run to church. So typically, the way of operation seems to be just the more mundane things,
mm-hmm.
you know, the temptations we feel in everyday life. You know, the devil would probably rather people live their whole life not believing that he exists.
Because the devil doesn't want people to be scared of hell, because where are they going to run to Jesus Christ?
Right, right. So I think I think that's why it's part of our Catholic faith to believe in, you know, in angels and demons and, of course, the departed souls. But
mm-hmm.
but it's not something that, I mean, I think we should look at it in a good way. As we were saying before, not just look at evil with a kind of fascination, you know, that makes us really worried or scared, but to remember that whenever we hear about them in the gospel, it's because they're being, you know, taken from power by Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know. And whenever we hear about ghosts, you know, and even in the gospel, you know, Jesus comes to the disciples walking on the water. They think he's a ghost. He says, "No, it's not a ghost. You know, it's me."
Mm-hmm.
Even in their fear becomes great joy.
And it's important. I think one of the reasons these movies are popular and Hollywood makes them is because of the unknown about the spiritual world, about the what happens after death. And they play on that because it's spooky, because we have a certain fear about those issues because of our lack of knowledge. But Jesus Christ, he reveals to us the spiritual, the deepest spiritual truths about the world, about what happens after death. What are the real powers beneath the physical world, beyond the physical world? It's God telling us this is what's really going on in the world, and this is the great narrative of the world. And so as Catholics, we have answers that somebody without revelation wouldn't have. And it's important when we think about these issues to contextualize them within the revelation of Jesus Christ, because then we can better understand what's going on. And it's not so spooky or fatalistic a view about these things, because we know more of the reality, and also we know Jesus Christ and have a level of protection that somebody otherwise would not have. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have just a few more minutes, and we have a few more a few more things we could bring up. Hollywood's a vast field; they come out with lots of movies. All right, what about aliens?
Okay. Yeah. We could just say quickly, zombies, vampires, they don't exist.
Yeah, not so real.
Okay. Yeah, they cannot exist. All right, yeah. Now, aliens, it is more complicated. Short answer, not absolutely impossible, but extremely unlikely. So bordering not impossible. No, so aliens, if they existed, first of all, they would be persons. They would be rational.
Yeah.
And, you know, otherwise they're just animals. But we're all aliens you see in movies, they're rational. So they would be rational, and they would have bodies like us. So they would be rational animals. So they would have the same, and by animal, I mean someone who has a body that's capable of sensation and self-movement. So obviously they're capable of sensation, self-movement, and rational thought. So that's our nature. That's what comprises our nature as human beings.
Yeah, the definition of a human is a rational animal.
Yeah.
So another rational animal, although an alien, would be the same nature.
Yeah, yeah. And again, by rational animal, we mean capable of rational thought, sensation, and self-movement. So it's obvious that they have that. So that's what we mean by alien. So they would be human beings. Now, if they're human beings.
Not that they would look like us.
Right.
But
But again, that they'd have rational thought, sensation, and self-movement.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
Father
what
Stephen, do you disagree?
I mean, if they did, if they had all of this.
Right. All
if,
these.
This is a big if.
We're assuming something that's almost certainly not possible is in fact the case. So we're getting ourselves in the weird situations.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, would you all agree that I think if there are other rational creatures out there, that they're still part of God's world?
Of course.
You know, they're not something that's totally other.
They would be a part of God's plan, because what created them? It would have to be God. There's no one else who can create. And so God, they would be a part of God's providence. They'd have some role in God's plan. And so, in other words, they would not be some threat to God's world order or providence, because they would only exist because they have a role in God's plan.
Right.
We could debate what that plan looks like, but unfortunately, time does not permit us to go down that rabbit hole. So thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimension. My name is Father Boniface Indorf, and I'm a parochial vicar at St. Patrick's Parish here in Columbus. And I've been joined in the studio with Father Jerome Zeiler, another parochial vicar at St. Pat's, and our pastor, Father Stephen Alcott. Let us end it now in prayer. O light of the church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni, Sancti.
Dominicans proudly wear Our Lady's Rosary on their belts. The Rosary is a gospel prayer which draws us into the mystery of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. With over 135 friars in formation for the four U.S. provinces, the Dominicans are one of the fastest-growing men's religious orders in this country. This is Father Benedict Kroll from the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Consider making a vocation weekend. Google Dominican Friars to learn more.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.